thing.
Okay.
This is an interview at the New York State Military Museum, Saratoga Springs, New York, the 11th of December, 2003, approximately 2:50 p.m. Interviewers are Mike Russert and Wayne Clark. Could you give me your full name, date of birth, and place of birth, please?
Floyd Van Dusen Ladd, and I was born September the 4th in 1917 in the Ellis Hospital, Schenectady, New York.
Okay, what was your background, your educational background prior to entering service?
I was in school when I first entered service. I was in my senior year in law school, and I had, I think, the second draft number. So I don't know why, but I thought I ought to be able to do something with 4 years of college and 3 years of law school and get something better than just a crapshoot in the Army. So I looked around and joined the Marine Corps Reserve. And I got a deferment, of course, for the last half year of law school. But the day Pearl Harbor happened, I said to my mother, I said, we'll get a telegram. And sure enough, within 3 days, we got a telegram.
Do you remember where you were and your reaction when you heard about Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, I was home. I knew that some one of these days I was going to be in the service, so I was home and wasn't really working very much. I was hustling a buck here and hustling a buck there, but I never wasn't really in a job. And so when I came out, my mother told me that the Japanese have bombed Pearl Harbor. I think I said the bastards, and that's about the reaction I had.
All right, why did you select the Marine Corps? You just thought you'd get a better...
Well, I was foolish enough to believe a recruiter that if I got through boot camp and did well, I'd get to officer's training. Which I did, fortunately.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you went in July of 41?
Yeah, if that's what the date mm-hmm. says, That's when it was.
Did you go into a...
Not July, no.
No?
No, no. That's when I signed up.
Oh, okay.
With a recruiter, believe it. Stupid as you may be at those days, I believed him when he said, you go to boot camp, you do well, we'll send you to OCS.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. I went to boot camp around 1st of February 1942, and I remember the guy that lined up next to me had his golf clubs with him. You can imagine what the sergeant did with him. And there was a good golf course on the at Parris Island, but that's neither here nor there. So, went through boot camp, survived, went up to Quantico to OCS. I was a little older than most of the guys in my class. And, of course, we had to talk on our feet in law school so that when they wanted the school solution, I was able to get up and talk in the training program in OCS, and they thought I was one of the top 10 guys in the class, and they offered us regular commissions. And I grabbed it. I said, oh, what the hell? I don't know. Do I want a regular commission? So I went into Colonel Floyd. He was the guy that was at CBA. And introduced myself, told him, I said, I don't know you from... but I said, you are at least somebody I have seen in the distance, and told him who I was. And I said, I really don't know whether to grab this regular commission or not. He says, Marine Corps takes care of its own. I said, that's good enough for me. And then served as a regular. I sworn in as a regular. And went down to, I got assigned to sea duty. And I had, we were finally assigned to, I first went to the Norfolk Navy Yard, did guard duty and talked to civic groups and things like that to kill the time. Finally, I was assigned to the Montpelier, the USS Montpelier up in Philadelphia. And I think my records will show that we put her in commission at Philadelphia on about September the 9th, 1942. And we had 50 Marines that were assigned to that vessel. We were out on a, we were going to Dakar with a great big convoy, having a shakedown, supposedly putting the men through their drills and teaching them how to use 20 millimeters and 40 millimeters, and all of a sudden we take a whoosh, a turn to starboard, and I looked down at the bridge, and our bugler, Major Potts, his name was. I said, Potts, I said, where the hell are we going? He says, we're going down to the Panama Canal. I says, what's wrong? Well, it took me a little while to find out, but what had happened was the Quincy and the Vincennes and the Astoria had been sunk up at Iron Bottom Bay north of Guadal. And they needed us down there. And we were down there, we had kids 6 weeks in the Navy, for crying out loud. We were aboard ship. It was just lucky we didn't get whomped. The Chicago got sunk right alongside of us. And it was our job to intercept the Japs as they came down the slot from Rabaul. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to save the Japanese that were still left on Guadalcanal. The Marines were doing a pretty good job there under, incidentally, Vandergriff, and he's the guy that signed my discharge papers, General Vandergriff. And after that got taken care of, we went off on feints. We were trying to confuse the Japs, I guess. We didn't do much until Saipan and Tinian.
Now, you were involved in some of the naval actions along with Guadalcanal?
Yeah. We were in anywhere from at least three and probably five. And shutting off the Japs from coming down the slot. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, we had better guns than they did and had better radar. And we shut them off and we finally secured Guadalcanal. That's when I got a chance to go down and meet the pretty Aussie girls whose sweethearts and husbands were off fighting up in the...
Now, in some of these naval actions, what was the assignment of a Marine Corps unit?
We had the 20s and the 40s. Mm-hmm. They had one dual 40 mount, and I think about five 20s. And I think, as I remember it, we used to have three guys at every 20. And on the 40s, you had two loaders, two feeders, and you'd have and two trainers and two elevators. And we, it was, a, you know, a 40 crew, if I think, well, you asked me if I, I could place them, I'll tell you, it's about eight on the, on that 40. So that took up to 50 men, all right, there's no question. I was, fortunately, I had charge of the 5-inch battery. Mm-hmm. Not in charge because we were we were computerized. We had the first GE computers. And but it was our responsibility to send down the proper information with our rangefinders and radar. Go down to what was known as a plot room, and they put all this stuff on the computers, and they controlled the 5-inch guns. Mm-hmm. And they were dual 5-inch, first dual 5-inchers. You've probably seen a lot of single mounts, but not duels. And we had, wonder why I don't like fireworks. Christ. From my battle station, which was 72 feet off the water up in the director, I had a dual 5-inch and a dual 5-inch. It just seemed like they were right there. I could reach out and touch them and boom, boom. And I'm no great believer in fireworks. I walk away from it. And then it came for a routine switch and sending me to a new battle station, a new duty station. And I got wind of the fact that the class of 1943 was getting flight training. And I said, how the hell am I going to get this so I don't have to come back out here and do island hopping? So I wiggled my way into that in a very unusual way. But anyway, I got flight training and was assigned to go out to Ottumwa, Iowa for flight training. See, I didn't go through the cadet stage in flight training. I went through the E-base, or the and I got there in November and didn't get out until Roosevelt's death in April because of the winter and you couldn't fly too much. Mm-hmm. But before that, I'd gotten married on the way. We got married, and we lived in a cellar in Ottumwa, Iowa. The Ottumwa, Iowa is known for it's the Morrell meatpacking plant. Everything was, the favorite drinking hole was the pink pig. So we were there until April. Then I went down to, where the next place?
What kind of aircraft did you train on?
The Yellow Peril, which are the Navy trainer. And then we got into Curtis. They were a dive bomber, but they weren't any good. And then from the Curtis up to a Douglas. And then finally I got checked out on an F-4U. I checked out on that. I made four landings on a carrier, which I hope I never have to do again. And
why?
That's a mighty small postage stamp when you're up there at 1,000 feet, I'll tell you. And but it worked out all right. And we, after that, when and the war ended. And they really didn't know what the hell to do. Because we had all of these flyers on stream to go out to the Pacific and to take over, go into Japan.
Now, you had just completed your flying just before the...
I don't remember whether VJ Day was the right after or just before we got our... I'll tell you this, we were so happy about it that none of us kept our our diplomas for having passed. That we didn't care about anything like that, and we. So I kept flying, and then one day, out of our flight, usually 200 guys would go off in a flight. Mm-hmm. That was what they'd call a flight, and four of my friends were killed by. Well, it was engine failure, and what it was that all the old guys, what the hell were the guys, that the riggers and everything else that packed parachutes and the mechanics that serviced the planes, they all had lots of points, and they all got out, and it was a lousy day. So I walked in, and I said, I don't want to fly anymore. I'm applying to get out of the Corps. Oh, Jesus, a lieutenant commander that was squadron commander. I thought he was going to jump right out of his seat and grab my bars and tear them off my collar. And, oh, we spent $100,000 training you. Why do we? But anyway, funny thing, he got my folder out. And he said, I see you went to Union College. I said, yeah. He said, did you know a guy by the name of Freddie Wyatt? Well, Freddie Wyatt was he was a rah-rah college kid until he was 75 years old. But I don't know, it was something about the guy's tone, like I felt, I got a guess here, he liked this guy because he came to Union. Mm-hmm. What the hell did he do? He calmed right down when I said, oh yeah, I know Fred very well. He's a good friend. He's a lacrosse coach, all this stuff. So he gave me the job of being counsel to the commander of the base. So my duty in the morning at Miami, I was down at Miami that by that time, was to stand at captain's mast with him, and when these drunken sailors would come up, what do we do with him? I said, oh, you know, give him something to talk about. All he needed was somebody to back him up. So then I'd get through with the captain's mast and call up my wife and say, did you get the scratches? And blah, 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 blah. All right, I'll meet you at the track. And we'd go out to the track. And that was my last month in the service, waiting for my orders, because I had to go up to Brooklyn to get discharged. Isn't that something? Probably didn't take 5 minutes, and it was 5 years of my time.
Now, you mentioned on the form you filled out that a kamikaze almost hit your ship. Where was that?
Larson got the only guy aboard our ship that got a Purple Heart was Larson. He was up on the forward 20mm gun, and the kamikaze hit the ship, and he just hit it like that and bounced off. But enough.
Now this was in the Guadalcanal actions.
It was off Saipan.
Off Saipan, okay.
Or maybe Guam, or maybe Tinian. I don't remember exactly. Let me think. No, it was part of the Saipan operation. Mm-hmm. Yep. However, my battle station, which was the forward 5-inch director, was hit directly in the Philippines. I was out by that time, and I was back getting flight training. Mm-hmm. But that was hit, and they got my gun boss, incidentally, aboard ship, was a guy by the name of Joseph F. Coleman. I don't know if you know heard the Coleman name or not, but the Coleman name is millions, millions, and millions, and they had control of Philip Morris at that time. And that was their corporation. And Fact of the matter is, I got thinking about him a month ago, and I looked him up on the internet, and sure enough, he's still alive, so I just dropped him a note. Not just saying, thought I'd tell you that I'm still around, and blah, 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 mm-hmm. and hope you're well. And by God, he sent me back a letter, and when he sent me back the letter, there was a picture in the New York Times in the sports section of him and a guide on a river that they control. He and his brother have 40 miles of some river up in Newfoundland, I think, or someplace. Well, I don't know if it's Newfoundland or one of the islands up there. And they, it's well known for its Atlantic salmon. And there's this picture of him, and so I cut it out of the Times, and I sent it to him, and I said, let's not make this a habit, but here's what, when you wrote me that note, and I got it, I said, the next day, here's what was in the New York Times. He got a kick of, he's 91 years old.
Wow.
He was class of 35 at Yale. At Yale they had ROTC Navy, or whatever Navy ROTC was. And he was a good boss.
After you were discharged, did you use the GI Bill? I know you already had most of your degree worked on.
No. Well, no, I can't say. I think the GI Bill is where you took the guarantee on your mortgage loan.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
right.
What the hell? That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I did that the first. I bought my first house with a GI loan.
Mm-hmm.
Up on Rugby Road.
Did you join any veterans organizations?
I did for a while. Yeah, Marine Corps League and the American Legion. I was afraid I don't want to hurt any feelings, because I don't know whether you guys are big on that stuff or not. But they all seem to be guys that stateside. I didn't see many of them that were the commanders and the rest of it that were. And I don't know. I had a bug in my ass that it took five plus years out of my life. And if anybody wasn't in, I sort of hated them just because they hadn't been in. And there were a lot in Carson, Schenectady, you know, with the General Electric Company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get to see any USO shows while you were overseas?
Oh, hell yes. Yes. Yeah.
Any notables or...
Ray Bolger. What girl was it? I'm trying to think what the woman was. I didn't see Bob Hope or anybody like that, but I remember Ray Bolger, and I remember a couple of other guys. And another thing I remember about, when you bring up Ray Bolger, I remember about the fact that we had a softball team aboard ship, and we got into a, I don't know who arranged it, but they got into a tournament, and I was the catcher on the team, and I had a kid that was a pitcher from Wichita, Kansas. That son of a gun could throw with either hand. He'd stand up there, and once in a while he'd cross me up just to keep me awake, too. But the second time we went into and we won the tournament hands down, and the second time we went into one of those fleet tournaments, I figured I'm keeping some sailor aboard ship, so I appointed myself coach of the softball team. Oh, yeah. I drink beer while they're playing golf, playing softball.
Do you remember what your reaction was when you heard about the death of President Roosevelt?
Well, I remember this, I remember the weather, it was, and I remember where I was when I heard about it. We lived in a cellar of a guy by the name of Shipler in Ottumwa, Iowa, and I was just packing the, had a little 60 Ford at that time. We got that when we got back, after we got back. And I remember she came out and yelled out the back door, and I was busy getting the car packed, you know, a little, mm-hmm. little Ford. And it was raining like hell. And I don't think I had any immediate reaction. I was more interested in getting on my way and getting going mm-hmm. where we were going, which was we were going to Texas, down to Corpus Christi, Texas, from the town of Iowa.
Do you remember your reaction to the dropping the atomic bombs?
Well, of course, that they told us that this will probably be the end of the war. Mm-hmm. And I don't anything that, even though I never had it better than I did as far as the war was concerned, but I mean, after all, I was a captain with flight pay. That wasn't bad, I'll tell you. But still in all, and not knowing what the hell you were going to do when the war ended, what you were going to do was, it was, how old was I? I was about 30, you know. Yeah. I think I probably was selfish and thought about myself and, well, what are we going to do now?
You ever use the 5220 club?
What was that about?
It was like an unemployment, $20 a week for 52 weeks.
No. I was always able to hustle a buck very good. I'd always worked ever since I was a kid at 16. And it was pretty grim, though. I remember the first year I, quote, practiced law. I made $1,600. Oh, boy.
Did you ever stay in contact with anyone that was in service with you?
Oh, I told you about Joe Cullen.
Yes.
Another guy I kept contact with for quite a while was Pete Parrish. He was class of 40 over at Williams. I haven't talked to him in some time. No, the last 5-10 years, I mean, who's still alive, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever go to any reunions or anything like that? Or?
Yes, we had some, we had two Marine Corps reunions of the class, the OCS class we were in. Mm-hmm. One I went to on Cape Cod, and another one I went to, it was down in Florida. I'm trying to think where the hell it was now. It was somewhere around Orlando. I know that, but I can't tell you where it was. Mm-hmm.
I know you mentioned that, you know, you spent 5 years of your life in the service. How would you say your time in the service changed or affected your life in any way?
Like, is the Pope a Catholic? Yeah. Oh, of course it changed my life. Mm-hmm. I was born in Schenectady, went to Schenectady schools, went to Union College, went to Olney Law School. Where the hell had I been? Or I'd go to New York once in a while. Mm-hmm. But you met guys from all over the, in all breaks of life. I still wonder about one kid that I saved his bacon down there. We went into Sydney for 10 days one time, and this kid was a doctor's son from Omaha or Wichita, somewhere up in there. And he was AWOL. We were ready to cast off from the dock. And I said to the officer of the day, I said, get me a car and a driver and I'll find them for you. And sure enough, I broke into the dame's bedroom and there's a kid at the bottom of the bed and he and the broad are in the bed together and I grabbed Mercer and I said, get your goddamn clothes on and come on here. I'm not going to let you get AWOL. But the next time we went in to Sydney for a little R&R, he didn't come back again and I said, the heck with it, I didn't know where he was. The first time, you see, they asked who would take the job at Shore Patrol. And so the first day we're there, I'm the Shore Patrol. And Jesus, those guys all knew everything that was going on around the town of Sydney, or town, a city, it's a big city. And I learned Sydney up and down in just about 24 hours, traveling around with the locals. The Shore Patrol, and so I found out where the girls assembled. That was terrible. And I think of the terrible thing that our guys did as far as the wives of those Aussie sailors, soldiers and sailors is concerned. But they wanted to be, that was a revelation to me, the openness of sex. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen anything like that up here. So, anything else?
I guess that's it. Thank you.
Ought to grab my,
yes,
my discharge.
Well, this, why don't you hold this up in front of you, just hold it there. When was that taken?
That was taken after I got out. I didn't have my, you'll notice I never wore my ribbons, and I'll tell you why, because I had so many stars on my ribbons that I was a little ashamed of it as a Marine, because any Marine that had lived more than two engagements was unusual. Mm-hmm. And I had five or seven or something that I could wear for all of them. And this is the joke of the whole thing. You'll notice my name. I'm Floyd Van Dusen Lied, and for some reason, for the 6 years I was in the Corps, I was Floyd V.D. Lied. Don't think Sergeant Patterson and a few of those guys didn't have a lot of fun with me. Fun with me on that. Now they were tough on us because they knew if we were going to break down, mm-hmm, we'd break down in front of the men, which the worst thing in the world can happen to the leader of a platoon or a company. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Well, thank you. There it comes.
The funny thing about that is I showed that to the girl that cuts my hair, and she says, please, let me will that to me. I think that's wonderful.
Okay. Thanks.